Opportunity to partake of your word, which is life to us. Grant each one of us to help us and enable us to mix faith with what we hear. Father, work within our hearts through your word that we always desire to be not only hearers but doers of the word. And Lord, may we in your mercy grow more into your likeness this day as we hear your word, because we know, Father, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your presence there's healing, deliverance, mm-hmm. salvation to the whole man. And so we commit this time, this word, into your hands now, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to speak today on the parable of the talents, which is very applicable, particularly for the overcomers. And we're calling our teaching today, Spiritual Blessings Are Based on the Promises of God. Spiritual blessings are based on the promises of God. And we make much about the promises of God. We believe by the mercy of God that we labour in the word, these promises which God encourages us to partake of. They are divinely given to us through our inheritance that we have through Jesus Christ, that he has made us partakers of these promises by the work that he achieved and done for us at Calvary. And so it is a slight to him if we ignore or we turn away from them or we allow wrong attitudes or unbelief to stop us from claiming our inheritance that is found in him. And we're learning how he achieves and works these things within our lives. Because as we know, that faith shows us it is a rest. And it is not striving. It is actually the power of God moving, working on our behalf as we yield over, as we yield our wills over, as we above all let go. It is the letting go. This is why attitudes are so important in the sight of God, because so often with an attitude, it's not only can be a door that is opened where the enemy can buffet, but also with those attitudes, we find that we want to still be in control. That is why we're afflicted with these attitudes. In some way, I can still have control in whatever way that attitude works. So we find it is a complete work of deliverance. It's a completely letting go. And we know that this is a process. We know that this isn't achieved overnight, but through our trials and tests, very often where we were wanting to be in control and holding on, we find in the end we only want to let go. We don't want to hold on to it any longer, because it is a hindrance. And we find that it is a hindrance to what? Our fellowship and our relationship with Jesus. We are finding we were wanting to let go of anything that hinders my 24/7 relationship with God. And he's making us very sensitive to that. He's making us very aware of that as he works through the Holy Spirit with us. So spiritual blessings are based on the promises of God. And we're all being prompted by the Holy Spirit not to slumber now, or to be diverted, or to put our hearts and attentions on anything else other than seeking the kingdom. In other words, we're to avoid distractions. And we know that there are so many distractions in the world. The world out there is utterly distracted in worthless things. Most of the things out in the world are actually worthless, really, in comparison to seeking the kingdom of God. They are. And yet we find that we can be drawn into it, into its way, and we soon find that it begins to sap our spiritual strength. Not necessarily physically, it certainly can do that, but it can sap our spiritual strength, where we find we become weary. We then find we start to lose that peace, that sensitivity of God in our lives. This is what I'm talking about, and we've all of us gone through those trials. So we have to, by the mercy of God, avoid these distractions, because you see, so much in the world is trying to rob us of our time with God and with fellowship with each other. These are the hindrances, these are the fiery darts that so often are attacking us, because it's trying to rob us of our time and our fellowship with God and each other. And we have to overcome this. We have got to put our priorities first. And those priorities God has been teaching us for many, many years. And yet we still succumb to the hindrances, to the works of the enemy, trying to hinder our fellowship with the Lord and with each other. And sometimes God tests us in these areas to see where our affections lie, where we may find that we haven't the time that we used to have. And sometimes God will allow certain things to afflict, of which we just don't seem to have that time. There doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. And God is allowing that to get our attention, to find out what is really in our hearts. Do we really want that quality time with God? Mm-hmm. And he'll work that. He'll allow us to go through certain things in which to expose whether do we really want to put the kingdom of God first, or is it simply lip service, or is it simply just agreeing with what the teachers say in FGA, and so on. He will test us in those areas. Now, it's interesting that we're told, aren't we, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, that all the promises of God are yes, and in him are men. All the promises, not just some, but all of them are yes and amen. So everything that you read, led by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing, he says is for us. This is why we do not deviate in salvation, which means wholeness in mind, body and spirit. So that wholeness in mind, body and spirit incorporates the promises of God. You need to read, meditate, take in, pray over what is graciously given to us. Yes, even in this life. Now, of course, Christendom tries to get away with it, where, well, all of that will be when you get to glory in heaven. Well, then you better do away with the Lord's Prayer then. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You better stop praying that if that's what you hold to. Because if you're praying that prayer, which was given to us as a principle to teach the disciples how to pray, The Lord made no mistake in that prayer. And so when you pray that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Holy Spirit is going to start to get you to read the Word of God and to receive these promises that are in His Word, so that you can start to inherit what is in heaven can be on earth also, all the while you're still on the earth. And I believe that restoration starts in the house of God. Amen. With the overcomers. It isn't going to start when we're caught up in glory. Mm-hmm. But it starts now with us. The operation, the setting in motion starts with us. Those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, who are baptized into the body of Christ to function, to come under the Word, and to come under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts now with us. And if you've never thought about that, then I've got news for you. It can start right now where you are. And you can choose that. You can decide on that. You can allow your heart, your attitudes to be in harmony with God's word or not. We have a choice. This is why I'm talking about spiritual blessings are based on the promises of God, His Word. Now, there is a parallel to this, and I believe it's found in the parable of the talents. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we're going to look at verses 14 through to 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. To 30. Now he introduces this firstly with the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. So it's in the context of the last days. It's in the context of those who are being filled, who have that extra vessel of oil, the anointing, which speaks of preparation for the last days. And then he comes in to the parable of the talents, what the Holy Spirit has imparted to those who are baptized in the Spirit. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents more, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have, look, what you have is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming. I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him who gave it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, there are many interpretations of this. Your commentaries are filled with all interpretations. But what we first need to understand is, in the context of what it's being said here, it's speaking about the coming of the Lord. It's end times. It, notice where it is placed in that sense. We know it's a parable, so it's a warning in that sense. It's revealing something. It's showing us what God graciously gives. But I believe that the parable of the talent can only be experienced and understood through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's the key to it. It's the empowerment of God. It's receiving God himself. It's receiving the fullness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into our lives, into our hearts, that we decrease, that he increases. It's really about yielding over to God. They increased their talents, those two with 10 and 2, because they yielded over. They didn't resist. They got delivered. The one who hid his talent didn't do anything with it. He didn't do anything. He wasn't getting delivered. He wasn't really embracing the cross. He wasn't allowing the Holy Spirit to change him or her. You see, there's always a bigger picture behind all these parables than we see. And so the talents is a warning that we can misjudge, that we can misjudge what God is saying. We can be stubborn. We can still have these mindsets, and we can see these talents simply based on our ineducation and our intellect. But that's not what it's about. Because if everything was based on our intellect, our education, very few will ever be saved. And you certainly might as well do away with the gospel going out to the highways and the byways. So it's not based on that. Salvation's not based on your intellect, your colour, your creed, your background, whatever. Salvation is based on mercy and grace. It is a gift. So our ability for these blessings are based on the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
And they are for all of us who want it, who are prepared to spend time in the Word and in prayer, so that these promises can become a part of you, can become a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are baptized, set into this church, not only to function, but those promises which we have in Christ Jesus can be a part of this church. I can't speak of others, but a part of this church. So what you are blessed with, what God has given to you and will give to you, also blesses the body. It's an encouragement to the body. This is why we give testimonies. This is why we share with what God's doing in our life. Why? Because it didn't take me long when I came into this, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I used to hear these testimonies coming out of saints' mouths, I knew God would do that for me as well.
Amen.
That's what I soon picked up. I thought, no, it's not just for that brother or sister, and I'm pleased for them. I am, but God can and will do that for me as well. And so on. You see? It's about what we do with what God has given to us. Now, what has God given to us? He has given to us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we are still learning what is involved with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What we can have. What we can partake of. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that is imparted to us. He has come to take over from our weaknesses, from the flesh, all those things that we are subject to, that have been bound to in the past. He has come over into our lives to take over. That's why he said at the cross, "It's finished, it's done. I now can come and dwell now in their lives in fullness." And we're still learning this one, aren't we? So these promises are based on God's word, his faithfulness. You see, if we get less than what God has for us, that is your fault. Nobody else. And we like to go and blame the ministry or blame the pastor, but many times it is a result of our fault if we are not getting what is promised in the Word of God. Because believe me, nobody can labour more in the Word of God and the promises than we have in this assembly over the years. To present to you what you can receive and have to glorify God with regard to these talents. And if we get less than what God has for us, then it is our fault. But the problem is, it never stops with those who are at fault in this, because you'll find that they will start to falsely accuse the Lord, as the servant did. He accused his master. Let's see what he says here in verse 24-25. "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man.'" Wow. Where did he get that from? Who is he listening to? You certainly don't get that out of the scriptures, out of the Bible. He was more concerned about his hardship. But what was the problem with his hardship? "Reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was," what's the word there? "Afraid." There's his weakness. "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground." And as a result of that fear, that worry, that anxiety, it caused him to falsely accuse the Lord. To accuse his master, in other words. What was he saying, in other words, through that fear? "You demand too much from me. I'm not capable. I don't have that education. I don't have that background. I'm not like some of my brothers and sisters in the assembly. Look at them, how they're blessed. Look at them, how they walk before God. I'm not like that." There it is. There it is. And there's the warning for every one of us in this church. None of us can ever accuse God because of the multitude of promises given in his word, which are for each of us, yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It is your own fault. And that's what you'll hear on that day when you stand before God. It's fearful. You cannot say, I'm not capable. Never allow your limitations, your own weaknesses, you to get into this. Never allow this to enter into the matter. God is facing each one of us today, now. Just like he faced Moses through the burning bush. Don't make that mistake Moses made. I don't have the ability. I can't talk, and so forth. He's foregoing some of his talents that he had given to him by God. Just keep quiet. Don't say anything. That is a wise head. If God is working things out in your life, if he's working deliverance, just keep quiet. Mm. This is why the children of Israel didn't make it into the promised land, because they complained. They complained, in other words, you've not given us enough strength. You've not given us the ability. You've not empowered us. You've not given us everything that we need to have to be able to enter into that promised land. Mm. Because the fear, anxiety manifested in their hearts, their nature. Just like the same here. That's what that unfaithful servant was doing. This is why we make much about worry and anxiety. Because it will disinherit you. It will stop you from entering in to the promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Never allow your limitations, and we have many limitations in the flesh. There's nothing new about that. But we're a new creation. We have been made new. Everything about us, everything within our heart, our spirit, is now new. That is God in you. What you have in you is the one who spoke the heavens and the earth into being. That's what you have. So we're without excuse, aren't we, brothers and sisters? If we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he expects the works of the Holy Spirit to be exhibited in us. He does. And he's watching this. He's watching each one of us. If we receive the fullness of the baptism of the Spirit, which it is, he expects the works of the Holy Spirit to be exhibited in each of us. Not in the pastor, in each of us. Where's the gift of prophesying in this assembly? We don't get it much these days now, do we? We don't get tongues and interpretations like we used to. You see, I could step in, but I don't always. Because I want you to move in faith with what you have been baptized with. We have also received those 9 supernatural gifts in the Holy Spirit, in the baptism. You see, the servant justified himself, putting the blame back on his master. You require too much from me. You know that I don't have the ability. You know I'm not very eloquent. You know I can't speak properly. You know I don't have the knowledge of the word like some have and everything. Have we done that? Yes, we have, haven't we? We have put that up as an excuse, and there's the mistake. I tell you, God's meaning business with us in this assembly. If we're to move on to the next thing, we have got to be unfettered in every way, you see. Are we discussing God through our unbelief, our pride, our worry, our anxiety, instead of seeking the kingdom of God? You know, we hear much about seeking the kingdom of God, but we can allow many hindrances. We can just be talking about it. We can be discussing it. We can be bringing it up just like we're doing now in this meeting. But the question is my life matching up to that which I hear? And the only way you will ever know that is to be honest before God. This is why we're always saying, when you hear the word of God, take it away with you. Let it become part of your prayer, your conversation with God. Lord, how did my life match up today with that word that I heard? Show me where my life is not matching up to the standard with that what I heard today. Show me. I need to know. Sometimes he'll show you, he'll convict you where you are in your seat. And that's why we encourage that you have notes. You don't have to take copious notes, but sometimes it's good just to jot down, I need to talk to the Lord about this. Mm. He's shown me something. I've got to take this before God. Do you know what? When I hear the word of God, I don't even stop there. When I get convicted, I say, Lord, I'm going to talk about this, but I'm handing this to you over right now. Even while the preacher's preaching, mm-hmm. I'm talking to the Lord there. I want this. I want to, you know, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I can't wait until the evening, whatever it is. I want to get it over to the Lord now. Mm-hmm. Why I'm hearing the word being preached, you see? And you know, that is important, you know, to hear what God is saying. And so, you know, all these promises are for us, and they're yes and amen in Christ Jesus, as we know. But the question is that unbelief still there? Is that still hindering me, you see? And we only know by the way we live, by the way we act, by what we say, what we do, and everything. This is why God shows us each day. And he allows us sometimes to falter. He allows us to miss it a mile off. Because through that, he wants to show you where you are. God's even control of our sinning, believe it or not. That's what staggers me. Because all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. All things, whatever you're battling with, whatever weaknesses, whatever you can think, all things work together for good. Thank God that he uses this. That is what's so wonderful. And you see, even though you may have fallen, when you confess it, when you bring it before the Lord, you keep that unbroken fellowship with him. It enables you to put the kingdom first and all these things that are added to you. Giving you time for him. Working with the children that can take a lot of your time. Working with the bosses at work so that you can do your work. You'll find him in so many intricate small things, just blessing, being there, enabling you to have that peace of mind and heart and spirit. You see, that's what I marvel with, how God works. But you see, the unprofitable servant who's blaming his master, it also reveals something else about this character, I believe, and that he was also lazy. Mm-hmm. Lazy people are critical and will tell you they didn't have a chance, or I don't have the time, or whatever it would be. They make all sorts of excuses. We know them. They're probably in our family. They're at work, or whatever it is. They've always got an answer as to why they can't do it, or whatever it be. But they've always got enough time for bed, or whatever it would be, or their own thing that they want to do, you see. It's a wrong attitude. And this was his problem also. And so he becomes critical. In actual fact, I believe it was the first sin to be seen on the earth when Adam and Eve fell. Cain, Abel. Cain was also lazy. He couldn't be bothered to offer the very best offering to God.
Mm.
And there we are. And he was critical. He couldn't understand. And that opened a door to jealousy, and jealousy, murder. That's what happens. And when you see these things, you still see it in the world today. You see the sin of Cain every day. We hear it on the news and so on. So you see, this parable that God is teaching us here is to deliver us. It's a deliverance. And I believe that this is very applicable. This parable speaks right down through the ages. It can speak to the church as well, what the church is bringing, gaining those talents for the Lord, blessing over the house of God, both individually and corporately, which often these parables can be. So there we are, brothers and sisters, spiritual blessings. I believe they're based on the promises of God.
Mm.
And this is why we make much of the promises of God, because it's to help, to encourage you to look at them, to pray over them, to believe for them, to apply it in your life, and to see the principle of that promise being fulfilled. Now, when we give these testimonies, or when we see our faith working, what does it do? It encourages. We've multiplied something that was just a seed, embryonic, which the Word of God is, planted into the heart in season. When it takes root, then it starts to shoot, and then the plant, the tree, begins to grow. Look what comes out of that seed. If that is not the principle of multiplication, I don't know what is. And God isn't looking to a vast amount of faith. In fact, he says a mustard seed of faith will suffice. But look what I will do with it. You see? We cannot blame God. We cannot call him hard, unjust, or whatever it is. Not at all. And yet that's what the world does. That's what they will do. But on that day when they see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they bow their knee, they will have to say, I was at fault.
Mm.
How stupid. What have I done? What was being offered to me? I had a conscience that kept drawing, kept speaking to me to turn to God. And that's why there'd be gnashing of teeth when sadly they go into hell. Because they will see what they missed out on. I was my own worst enemy. I listened to myself. I listened to my feelings, my emotions. I listened to the devil. See? That will be the torment. Look at the wonderful gift that he's given to us in Jesus to escape all of that. And not only that, but to have these parables, these talents that can be increased so that when he comes, he will get his reward. And that's the final thing I want to say as I close there. What is Jesus's reward that he's coming for? Do you know what it is? That's his increase. That is what he's after. That is what he's looking for. And that is what you and I are a part of. That we have done something with what he has given to us. And we have made ourselves ready. And he has come for the marriage feast is soon to be ready. If that doesn't speak of that tenfold blessing, then I don't know what does. You see, we can see so much that we can draw a line, a parallel from, with regard to this great parable here. So there we are. Do you want to increase? Do you want to do something with that that you have been given? Then you have the wherewithal. You have the empowerment to do it, so that when he comes, he will be pleased, because you have multiplied it tenfold, fivefold, twofold. But the one who does nothing with it and simply buries it, sadly for that one, they will be cast out into outer darkness. Now that one, people will say, oh well, he wasn't saved. Oh, he was, because he had a realization. He knew about the talents. He received his talent, but did nothing with it.
Cradled in the love of Jesus.